This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons here live at Gillette Stadium, or just nearby Gillette Stadium, Patriot Place, the Dean College stage in between Bar Louie and Citizen Crust Pizza. Getting ready for the Patriots preseason opener against the Commanders, as well as the 6 p.m. statue reveal for Tom Brady. Robert Kraft will speak for a few moments. Tom Brady himself will be down in the plaza addressing the fans.
Mr. K was just down there moments ago alongside Stacey James.
Last question.
Prepped and ready to go. Short speech. Keep it short. That would be my advice to any of them.
This is short. Less is more.
Yes.
Brevity is
more.
The soul of GOAT.
And then pull that sheet off and show them what everybody came
to
see.
Is it going
to
be a
run
poll?
Run it again, Brady.
Is it going to be a pull where it comes down, or will it be like, ta-da?
I think it'll come down.
Like a cloche off a really nice plate.
I think you pull from the back so the front slowly lifts up and reveals whatever it is. As I've said, there's a fist in the air or something in the air, a trophy in the air. You can tell underneath the sheet, but also I've heard some questions about whether some people may not be in love with the pose. So,
as long as
about
he's not
3 hours away,
off the crowd or like holding a Buccaneers helmet.
Why would he be flipping off the crowd? What if it's that pose of
pose?
Is he walking into the stadium or out of the stadium? The Hulu commercial. Remember the Hulu ad?
The worst commercial of all.
Now I think it was the greatest commercial of all time.
You said earlier
it was
in the
a kick in the stones for New England.
Why are you doing this? It's all positive. It's Brady's day, and now you're bringing up the Hulu commercial.
It was one of the greatest commercials of all time, except he, kind of kicked the Patriot Nation in the cojones.
I don't know.
Anyway, it's 3 o'clock. Ted Johnson is on his way here. He's delayed, I think, in security or parking.
Couple autographs.
Ted's hovercraft is parking in the lot right now.
He's got a hovercraft? That'd
you
be
didn't
cool.
know that?
No. Anyway, it's 3 o'clock, and it's time to find out what we think would mean success for the Patriots season in our three-point stances.
319!
319!
It's the three-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bang!
Easy as 1, 2, 3.
Pasternak, a hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three. And it is gone. A 3-run homer and the game is tied.
On WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident or by that Tom Brady Hulu commercial, you got to get Glassman.
Call the topical references
He's
that
good.
I appreciate most in all of those.
He's good.
I like that.
Well, if you did like that, you can call all sevens at 617-777-7777. So, as was brought up in our email chain earlier this morning by Ted Johnson, who's joining in a few moments, we wanted to list out the biggest keys, reasons, points for success for the Patriots in 2025. There are a million different things that have been discussed, good, bad, and otherwise, that we're waiting to see how they unfold in the 2025 season. So, what I am going to ask of our host today on the three-point stance is name your 3 points of success for the Patriots in 2025. We'll give you the customary 60 seconds in order to do it so you can flesh it out a little bit. Andy will lead us off. Fitzy will follow. Andy, are you ready?
I am indeed.
All right, your 60 seconds begin right now.
It's two words. It's not Tom Brady. It's Drake May. This year is about Drake May. It's about leaving this season, the year to jump, hopefully, ideally, preferably with a playoff game in your back pocket, a wild card game, because I know there's that whole belief out there that if you're going to be a great franchise quarterback, you have to make the playoffs in your first two seasons. We'll see if that's true, but we need to leave this season saying, wow, how much are they going to pay Drake May in 2 or 3 years? You think it's going to be $400 million? Is it going to be $500 million? Is it going to be $50 million a year? You need to believe that he is your franchise quarterback. You also need to believe that Will Campbell was not a bad pick at number 4 overall. You need Will Campbell to either be well-established as a left tackle, a Pro Bowl caliber left tackle, or just a very good offensive lineman who, okay, he might have to go down the Joe Tooney, Logan Mankins route of going inside to guard, but either way, you feel like you have an elite offensive lineman to help build around moving forward. And then, competency. It's just competency. It's, you know, the third bucket for Mike Vrabel? Stuff that'll get us beat, only he doesn't say stuff. There can't be a lot of stuff that'll get us beat. Be competitive. You may lose because you're not talented enough, but don't lose games because you beat yourself.
All right, Drake May, Will Campbell, and competency. And that third one is such an interesting one because it applies to literally every part of what you want to have for success.
Covered my bases.
It could potentially be a little, it's a little nebulous, but that's okay because there are so many things that were incompetent about last year's team and the Patriots for the last several
100%.
Years.
And that's what I would say is it's not so much a task for Vrabel as just a make us forget about last year. There were so many things that were incompetent last year.
Absolutely.
From, like, you know, the Boston Herald expose late in the year was like, when did it go sideways? Was it March? Was it April? Was it May?
I don't know.
It was long before the season. And, you know, there's some people that think it went sideways at the introductory press conference.
Me, the second I heard Young Thunder, I was like, and I'm
the first time or the 27th time?
Oh, first.
Which one crossed
first,
the line for Young Thunder?
The first Young Thunder cat I heard, I was like, that's the season, folks. We'll see you next year.
All of that stuff, and so far we're well on our way to that last box being checked off first,
right.
The competency box, because Mike Vrabel through February, March, April, May, June, all we've seen is competent execution. None of this, well, we're not ready to practice, so we're actually not going to start a week early. No, we're ready to go. We have assistant coaches. I had all these guys lined up. I did have the benefit of coaching before in the NFL, but all these things that have kind of been part of the building process towards September have been really impressive, really, really impressive for the Patriots. They are a very competent football team under Mike Vrabel.
We have our first Fitzy, our first split Brady, New England Patriots, Tampa Bay Buccaneers
Where?
Jersey.
Frank and Brady.
At about your
you
one
got a Frank and Brady jersey, guy? Come on. Don't troll us. Don't bring the Tampa part of Brady's career up here for the
statue
night.
It is what it is.
And you know what it is? It's a bad choice.
Nope. It is what it is.
Wear that at home.
You can't fight facts and history, Fitzy.
No, I understand he played for Tampa. I've steered into it. I feel terribly about the fact that I didn't root harder for Brady at that time because I was in a glass stadium of emotions and a pandemic. But damn it, I hate seeing the Brady Tampa jerseys up here. Everywhere else, that's fine. The 12-ification and the 87-ification, if you will, of Tampa and that greater northern Florida area, that's fine because he went down there and did something special for them, and God love him for what he was able to accomplish. But bringing that up here, hard pass, no thanks, bro.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just call that guy a bro? He looks
like
he can kick
your
ass.
No, just in general. I don't give a flying Foxborough what that guy could do. I'm just telling you how I feel about it, and that's the case.
One last point about competency before we can move on, and this is coming from a season of watching the Red Sox where they've lost 20, 21 one-run games or something like that. And how many of them have come from not knowing how many outs there are, not knowing what base to throw to, not knowing the situation, making a mistake, incompetent decisions by your players. You're going into a Patriots season that's very similar, where you don't have an abundance of talent. You're not going to roll team. A lot of teams are still looking at the Patriots as, oh, well, there's a win on our schedule, so you have to have the details buttoned up. Because even if you're losing games, you have to be losing close games and competitive games that you're not shooting yourself in the foot
right.
in.
It's okay to get beat because the other team might be more talented.
Yeah.
Don't get beat because you give it away.
Right.
Because, you know,
the defense didn't show up, or you had no talent in the back.
Or Ramondre Stevenson fumbles, or, like, don't
two picks
give
in the
games
first quarter,
away.
Yeah.
Don't just be 4 quarters of fight to the finish, and you get to the, we're not quite good enough, we lose by 4. You need a lot of those, and there may be a lot of those, and those may grow frustrating when you're in the midst of it, but I think if you look at those in the larger picture of year one Mike Vrabel, year two of Drake May, year one of this new regime kind of coming together, that's a reasonable, positive expectation. Yeah, was I supposed to give a win total? I didn't quite.
Not yet.
You're welcome to if you'd like. We'll update our win totals that we've been kind of counting throughout the preseason.
I think that's our EWAA, expected wins above Andy.
Absolutely, 100%. And above Andy is not that hard to reach. Okay.
Did you hear the nice fan earlier who made me stand up and was like, wait, you're not as short as they make you out to be. You're very normal height.
Yeah, you also
thank
put
you,
your,
sir.
But
you also,
you're wearing platforms.
I am not. I'm wearing Hokas. They have a little extra padding, but they're not platform shoes.
He also, because
I have seen some on Instagram that say they can make you grow 3 inches, and I'm like,
really?
I'm kind of tempted to order them and just walk in one
vertically,
day.
Right?
Yes, vertically.
Okay, just checking.
And from my feet.
Yep.
Not anything
okay, got
else.
It.
Yes.
He also was surprised that you weren't as fat as he thought that you were.
Well, I'm not fat. Thanks to my friends at Awaken 180, I dropped 31 pounds, baby.
Well, it's the hat jumbo heart. You don't do yourself any favors.
Yeah, the Jumbo comes from the mascot from Tufts University, my alma mater.
I didn't know that until
I met this is
you.
A great conversation. Can we continue with the 3-point
All right,
dance?
fair enough. Yeah, there you go. And I wanted to mention that Andy had his ego pumped up during the course of a commercial break, but I'm glad we got
it.
It
was very nice. First he wanted to kill me and fight me, then he liked me and said I was tall as
this is awkward.
Thank you very much, Stanley.
There's the Andy Hart difference. All right, Fitzy, you ready?
Fitz, just wake up.
Yeah. He could have done that 5 minutes ago.
Right.
Ken just showed up with a Citizen Crust Pizza. He's my new favorite. All right, let's do this. There, Danny Ballgame.
All right, here's 60 seconds. Go ahead.
All right, I will agree with Andy that the first key to the Patriots having a successful season is indeed the development of Drake May. I don't need him to be the next great quarterback. I don't need him to be Josh Allen 2.0 or a better version of C.J. Stroud or the AFC's Jaden Daniels. What I do need in that development process, I need a neural link between Drake May and Josh McDaniels. I want him to put on the cerebro and have them be hive mind. I want him to understand that playbook. I want it there to be the competence and the fluidity that we need to see between this offensive coordinator bringing his evolved third iteration of the playbook to Foxborough, working with Drake May, giving him the confidence to ascend to what we all believe he can be, which is an elite quarterback. Number two, I need just not even Will Campbell. Andy, I need a stabilized offensive line overall. I want Jared Wilson to work out. We need to figure out who the center of the future is. Are we good with Mike Onwenu at right guard? And can Morgan Moses hold down right tackle more often than not, or are we going to get into load management? So I need a stabilized offensive line for the first time in a half decade. And number three, I want 2 to 3 playmakers to emerge. We believe Pop Douglas is going to be one of them. I would like maybe one other receiver to develop as a dangerous target and one of the running backs who I truly believe will be Travion Henderson. Give me at least 2, Utah, maybe 3 playmakers. There are my 3 keys to a successful Patriots season. There's the kid with the red Henderson jersey. That kid knows what's up.
That guy knows ball.
He does.
Let's talk about playmakers. Andy, who are the 2 to 3 playmakers on the depth chart that you look at and go, those are my guys? That's if I was putting odds on they're going to have the biggest impact on the Patriots, who are the playmakers you'd prefer to be on that list?
I'd start with Pop Douglas.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think because he's in year 3.
Yep.
Because it's the Josh McDaniels, historically the offense has focused on the slot receiver, and because I think he has talent. You know, I thought he was going to have more success last year. It never really came to fruition. A lot of reasons for that weren't necessarily his fault, but I think it's time for him to really pick up where the legacies at that position left off. I do think there's a chance Fitzy is right, that Travion Henderson could be an impact. First of all, we know running backs in the NFL, every year there's a handful of rookie running backs that are going to change the league, be like the hottest fantasy guys.
NFL.com had him at 7 touchdowns.
7 touchdowns I like.
Yeah.
That's kind of right in line with the 3 of them having 20.
20.5 was your
seven,
over.
Seven. Yeah. Boom, we're at 21. That's the over. I think Travion Henderson, especially with his playmaking ability, his explosive ability, and the fact that this offense, I do think, is going to lean on the running backs that have historically been a part of the Josh McDaniels offense. I also think it makes it better and easier for Drake May if he has that as his binky to work with there.
And you've seen him at the not just the joint practice, but some of the other ones that we attended this preseason or during this training camp, Andy. He hits top speed faster than anybody.
Yes.
Like there's
explosive.
No, he doesn't have to shift through the gearbox. Like he's 0 to top speed just like that. Everyone notices it too. And I'm not sure who Andy probably spoke to, the usual cadre of the Giardis and the Pauls and whatnot, but like every other guy out there, like Phil Perry, Mark Daniels, Chad Graff, they're all like, damn, they have not had somebody this fast in a long, long time.
Oh, out of the backfield? I don't even know when they've had somebody. Like, he's a pretty unique guy for what they've... Like, James White was remarkable in his ability, run after catch screens, to make things happen. And you're like, he's not that fast. Kevin Falk, not that fast.
They're just understand the field,
smart,
though.
Absolutely. The cuts were perfect. Whereas I think Travion Henderson is just explosive. It's why our guy Ted Johnson has said he's going to score a touchdown on a swing pass, like a big play swing pass, because guys like Ted Johnson, linebackers that are chasing, I think are going to underestimate how explosive
that
he is. And just like, oh, I got him. I don't got him. Safety, somebody help me. Back end, you need to get him.
Let me double down on Ted's bet or prediction. He says Travion Henderson will definitely score a touchdown on a wheel route this season. I say he does it within the first 4 games.
Okay. I can match that. I say he does it opening day against the Raiders.
Wow.
Beat that. First quarter. First possession.
All right, okay.
You can't beat that unless he does it tonight.
How about this? First play.
Okay, could be all first play. You win. And then the other one, I don't know if you're going
playmaker?
This direction. And I don't know if this is allowed because I don't really know the criteria that is in your brain.
We have very loose rules.
Yeah.
Christian Barmore.
Oh.
I need Christian Barmore to become the absolute beast that I think he can be next to Milton Williams. We saw it when he took away the pride of some guy on the Washington roster. Yeah, Allegretti.
He's
made him consider retirement the way he threw him around.
Vontae
like a
Davis
doll.
Right there.
I think Christian Barmore is going to get one-on-ones, and if Christian Barmore gets one-on-ones because there's some double teams going the way of Milton Williams, Christian Barmore could be an impact force with double-digit sacks, big plays, fumbles. Like, he's in the backfield before they can even figure out what's going on kind of stuff.
Looks legit. Dan, like, the speed off the line.
Yeah.
Fat, like, Milton also, like, significantly larger than Milton Williams and off the line.
Oh.
Milton Williams was actually smaller in person.
I compare Christian Barmore to Richard Seymour. In size, athleticism, like, he has that kind of build and ability. He's just never really put it together. And he does have a knee that is bulky and acts up at times. That needs to not be an issue. And obviously the blood clots need to not be an issue. But I think that's a guy that can make plays and change the totality of the team.
We have our first 47 jersey here tonight. We're now into the hundreds on the Tom Brady jerseys.
Oh,
47. Who's that, sir?
John Lynch.
You have a John Lynch jersey? That is he played a preseason.
Yeah, that
is
outstanding.
You are so excited for that.
That is a rare item.
That is a rarity. A John Lynch jersey. I love it. Awesome.
You're noting that down, John Lynch?
Yeah, one.
Absolutely.
If we get to two, I think we should have to give something away.
I tell you what, I will buy somebody a beer if they show up in a Patriots Reggie Wayne or Torrey Holt.
We also had Sebastian Vollmer walking into the Bar Louie to get a drink if Patriots fans are interested.
Seabass!
Blew his cover.
These are going to get to the jerseys where you're asking, like, okay, was that John Lynch's jersey that he actually wore versus did you go out of your
way? I had
to
no
buy
idea.
It?
When you said 47, I'm like, who the hell is 47?
I couldn't figure it out for love or money.
I also found it interesting, and I'm glad you brought up Barmore, and I'm sure Ted probably would have brought this up given his, you know, position, but neither of you put defense anywhere on the list.
Because I think we're both pretty comfortable, or pretty confident, I should say, that the defense is not going to let us down or that it's going to perform around expected, if not at times, possibly better, depending on, of course.
Well, what's your expectation? Because some of these aggregators.
Top 12.
Okay, so, you know, a mid-level defense, not truly elite.
Not truly elite, okay. But also not middle of the pack.
Because your boy ML Football, when he's like, is this the best front seven in football? No, it isn't.
No, it's not.
Easy answer. Move along,
hasn't
son.
Hasn't proven anything just yet. I think Spillane's going to be. To me, as long as there's health on the line, and especially in the back, like if Gonzalez is out and Carlton Davis continues to remain a wild card or a mystery, that could be an issue.
Are you worried about that?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Alex Austin looks good, but we paid Carlton Davis.
Wait a minute. If the starting corners are Alex Austin and DJ James, you're in trouble. You're in absolute trouble.
No one said that we weren't.
My guy Christian Barmore is going to need 50 sacks.
Marcus Jones and Alex Austin and DJ James and Isaiah Bolden. Yeah, that's going to be a lot of other teams. Like,
hey, Drake,
we're
going to
go ahead and scrap the run game and just like probably throw every down this week.
Sling it and score 40 would be the priority there.
So that's a legitimate concern.
Absolutely. Yeah. But you're hoping for outside from that. You're hoping that there is a plan with Carlton Davis. You're hoping that they're just being overly cautious with Gonzalez.
Maybe he's on a jet ski somewhere and he'll be back for the regular season.
And I know that's homer honkish to believe both of those are going to be settled by week one. But if that is the case, I think you guys are probably both expecting consistency from the defense. I know, relatively speaking, injuries notwithstanding, what I'm going to get week in, week
out.
Where your offense is, well, I need this to happen. There's a lot of volatility between how good it can be and how bad it can
be. If the defense is healthy, it'll stun me if they're not good. If they're flat out bad. If they're just giving up plays and points, they can't tackle, can't cover. That would stun me because I think they have proven capable talent at every position and also guys that might elevate at every position. So that's where they could be really good if Christian Gonzalez takes it to the next level and all of a sudden he has one of those years where he has like 8-9 interceptions.
Told you,
Barmore has 10-11 sacks, if you know Jabril Peppers is running around just knocking people's heads off,
how about
if Robert Spillane has 180 tackles, like if those guys all reach their high end sides, this is going to be a really good defense. If they just play normal, then it's going to be a good defense. I'll be stunned if it's a bad defense. Injuries are really the only way I think that this can end up being a bad defense. Whereas on the offensive side of things, there's high side, there's optimistic. There's also low side and pessimistic and questions.
Right.
Offensive line, receiver, somebody's hurt. Drake May isn't ready for the job. That could fall apart.
Right, absolutely. And that positive stance there from Andy Hart is how we will end our three-point stance, the 3 points of success for the 2025 New England Patriots.
I want to squeeze a quick phone call in because Sean in Detroit has been hanging around for a while. He's flying in for the Tom Brady ceremony. What's up, Sean?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Actually driving in, seeing all 30 stadium. Yeah, no, it's awesome, man. Literally left my house at like 5 a.m. today. My wife is amazing, very understanding.
Attaboy.
Hell yeah, I picked a good one. Like I said, seeing all the stadiums, put the Patriots on my list. Found out literally yesterday it's the Brady statue day. Give me, what do I got to do for the Patriots? Make it a great story to tell, a great Patriot experience. What do I got to do?
Fitzy, that's your world.
What do you got to do? You got to come down here.
Thanks for the call, Sean.
First thing you got to do is you got to make sure you're here in time and you get a quality space to take in the Tom Brady statue reveal. But before that, you have to walk up the stairs from the plaza up to the middle of Patriot Place, swing by one of our favorite spots, be it Bar Louie, Splitsville, Citizen Crust, grab a bite, grab a drink, maybe swing by Wormtown Brewery, pick up some swag at the Patriots Pro Shop, say hi to your boys at the Dean College stage for WEEI, where Teddy Johnson right now is autographing a Ted Johnson jersey with a crowd around him. You love to see it. Those are the tenants that will make for an amazing day here on Tom Brady Reveal Night and the one Patriot preseason home game. Let's go!
I'm a big fan of the kid who took off his croc and is looking to get that signed. That is ingenuity right there. But yes, Ted Johnson working the crowd, signing things, hugging, taking pictures, doing it all. 617-779-7937. WEEI Afternoons is live at Patriot Place, just outside of Gillette Stadium near Citizen Crust. It is Tom Brady statue reveal night. It is Patriots preseason opener. Ted Johnson is here, but we also have to talk a little Celtics. Joe Mazzulla. His contract was a question for some. We'll talk about that. And my favorite quotes of all time, or at least in recent memory, come from Bob Cousy. That's next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball, if his computer works, will be doing what's trending now.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Red Sox open up a six-game road trip tonight. They begin a three-game series in San Diego against the Padres. First pitch is at 9:40. Walker Buehler will start against Nick Pivetta. You can listen to the game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Matt Mitchell pregame show with Christian Arcand is tonight at 8:40, and Will Fleming and Mike Monaco have the call of the series. From earlier today, the Red Sox claimed catcher Ali Sanchez off of waivers from the Toronto Blue Jays. Sanchez will meet the team in San Diego. He is a career 186 hitter in 46 games over the span of four seasons. The Celtics announced today that the team has signed head coach Joe Mazzulla to a multi-year contract extension. Mazzulla is coming off of his third season as Boston's coach and has guided the team to the playoffs each season, including the franchise's 18th NBA title, to cap off the 23-24 campaign. The Patriots kick off the 2025 preseason tonight against the Washington Commanders. Kickoff is at 7:30. Commanders quarterback Jaden Daniels is not expected to play in the game tonight. Also on the scoreboard this evening, the Lions are at the Falcons and the Browns are at the Panthers. Both games kick off at 7 p.m. And from around the league, Chargers Pro Bowl left tackle Rashawn Slater will miss the 2025 season with a ruptured patellar tendon suffered in practice on Thursday. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons live from Patriot Place coming up right after this.
You can stream the show or listen on demand anytime. Just download the Odyssey app.
That's A-U-D-A-C-Y.
Save WEEI as a favorite and listen wherever you go. Now, more of WEEI Afternoons.
With Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Those discussions in-house. But we've got Joe under contract for multiple years right now. And so we certainly want Joe to be around here for a long time.
That was Brad Stevens at the end of the playoffs when he made a comment, or I guess that was maybe draft time, when he made a comment about having Joe Mazzulla for multiple years, and everybody was like, wait, what? Uh-huh. What do you mean multiple years? Well, the Celtics announced today a multi-year contract extension with Joe Mazzulla, so he is not a lame duck coach. He is the head coach of the Boston Celtics for the foreseeable future, and Ted Johnson's here, first
What's
of
up,
all.
Guys? Sorry about that.
You okay?
Crazy get in today.
Jeez, a legend
What's
like
up, guys?
You hits traffic? There was like a special lane for three-time champs.
Yeah, can't you just clear the cars, move them out of the way one hand at a time?
You would think. We got to get on that. But no, so I was just like, everybody else had to get sit in traffic. And once you get to the parking, I didn't have the official credentials to get to my parking. So I just basically had to be – I used my
– Ted has a Red Sox credential.
I can see why that didn't work. And it just says – big word on here says media.
Sir, that's Fenway Park.
And they just kept pointing
to the – Can't you tell I look the same on my Patriots credential? Right. Remember, I was here, won 3 Super Bowls. Not a lot of people look like me or the same size.
I can pick you up.
The problem is, and I'm surprised that it's this way, that they would treat us such. They put the media parking lot like – in Siberia.
Yeah, it's a ways. It's a ways. Yeah.
So just real quick, set the scene. So when I got up here, like in the 1 o'clock hour, I could the crowd wasn't quite here yet. We've been slowly noticing it coming to be. But 3:30 is when people can now officially get in, Ted, to start staking out their spots on the plaza. And Ian, to come hang with us at the Dean College stage to get ready for 6 o'clock. So did you notice?
What's at 6 o'clock? The game's not at till 7:30, right?
you didn't hear?
What's Stacey, going on?
Stacey James is going to read a rules of good quality media participation for everybody.
I haven't heard.
Then Rob Gronkowski and Julian Edelman are going to play a game of celebrity tiddlywinks.
You are going to go. You're going to wake up tomorrow with withdrawals. There's no statue to look forward to.
I haven't. You know what, Ted? I won't need a little blue pill until I'm 60.
It's for reals, man. This is I just can't wait to get this, you know.
It's cathartic.
We got to get a video of his reaction, don't you think?
Yeah, I don't know if we'll be able to play it, though.
No, it's going to be
adults only. OnlyFans.
No, it's on
OnlyFans Fitzy.
OnlyPatsFans.com. I have the domain.
But, it is Tom Brady statue reveal. Yep. It is Ted Johnson preseason opener here at Gillette Stadium. We will see Drake May, but the Boston Celtics did extend Joe Mazzulla. There was also an interesting article that ties into that because Bob Cousy, 97-year-old Bob Cousy.
I think you and I saw this article through the same brain, bud.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, he's my hero. First of all, if I live to 97, I'm going to be ecstatic.
He's slowly becoming my hero after watching Celtic City and reading this article. Bob Cousy's slowly becoming one of my favorite athletes of all time.
Yeah, I had the pleasure. I went to WooSox opening day, sick brag, bro, a couple of years ago, and he was in center field, and he gave like a kickoff to the season speech. He sat for it, of course, because as he detailed, it's very difficult to get up a couple times every to use the restroom or the shower, but otherwise he's happy to be at the party. And he was hilarious.
Yeah.
He went on for minutes. He wove in local humor, Celtics humor, pride of Boston sports, like – he absolutely won the crowd over in no time at all. And, like, it's just amazing. We're just so blessed to have so many icons overall in this rich sports city, Ted. But, like, the fact that he is still bringing it, going out with his friends, knocking back 3 beef eaters at every supper club get-together, like...
You can't even do that.
I cannot hang with Bob Cousy.
No. The fact that Bob Cousy
could
drink this crew under the table at 97...
Well, awesome. Why don't you give the highlights of the article?
Yeah, and he's reached that point where I think he's like, I don't really care what – I mean, I can say what I want because I'm Bob Cousy.
What gives you that impression?
Because he said whatever the hell he wanted.
It was amazing.
So let's start.
How his brain works and how sharp he is. And then, honestly, just how he's still got a potty mouth at 97
Love
years
it.
Old.
Love what? It. It was actually so good that I knew I had clicked on bostonglobe.com, but I was like, am I in an AI story, or was this like made up?
I didn't get trolled.
The word mostly used in this article is expletive.
Yes.
Expletive. Yeah. Expletive.
He does say like
– So Shaughnessy is – wait a minute. Bob Cousy's saying these words?
Yep.
Wow.
Could be the beef eaters talking. Maybe he had a couple of those.
He says like crap or poop once, but otherwise it's –
it's expletive.
What is the – by the way, Ted, what do you think – boys, what do you think is the age of unfiltering? Is it like –
it to be 52.
Is it a level of accomplishment or is it an age where you just log on to
PGAF? I
think
getting to a certain age is just an accomplishment in its own.
Yes, so and 97 is one of those.
I would say age is the demarcate. That's where you just – and when – you got to be retired, right?
Oh, yeah. I think you got to be at least in your late 70s.
I'd say 80. If you hit 80, it's like at that point on, the gravy train rolls
when off. The waitress comes and says, how is it? You say, it's terrible. I wish I'd never ordered it. Take it back.
I take a little practice. Every now and then I'll throw in a sweetheart or honey just to test it.
You're not old enough yet.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
Toots is a good one. But Joe Mazzulla gets a contract extension. Dan Shaughnessy talks to Bob Cousy at his usual Thursday night hangout, and he says, quote, I get the impression that Coach Joe Mazzulla did a good job and had their attention, but in the playoffs, in my experience, the best teams win. There are upsets occasionally, but I have no understanding of how the Celtics could collapse, especially against the expletive Knicks.
Expletive.
As the Knicks proved in the next round, they were not a legitimate contender. So Bob Cousy's like, not only did you lose.
Talking smack.
You lost to a team that's not that good. Oh, now, I know he probably hates the Knicks, so there's probably a little of that there.
Should. The fact he's still got the vigor and that kind of disdain for the Knicks is fantastic.
And this was my favorite part, because you guys know I love when athletes, coaches validate my opinions and make me feel good about what
I think that's pretty much what gives you
air. Yep, a little bit. So Shaughnessy writes, many of us blame the loss on Boston's over-reliance on the three-point shooting. I think Ted, you and I are in that camp. Yep. And Cousy says, I like the three as a weapon, but not as the first expletive option. It's always going to be there for you. It's not something you have to create. You're going to have it when you want it. So why eliminate the other options? I know we're into analytics. I can't fight with the computer, but I know what I experienced, and in my judgment, there are benefits to attacking the basket first. I'll go to my grave, that made me uncomfortable, disagreeing with Danny and Brad about this. Obviously, the coaches they hire share that philosophy, so that's what we've got. So Bob Cousy, not real happy like Ted and Andy about, oh, we're just going to shoot threes, and if we miss, we'll shoot two more threes and keep shooting threes. My only question is there a change coming? Because we've already talked about Brad Stevens' comments about watching the finals and cutting and slashing and athletic teams. Bob Cousy is now talking about, is the world kind of crashing in around Brad Stevens and Joe Mazzulla?
I think so. And I think Brad is almost kind of falling on his sword, almost admitting that they you know, need to change. The NBA game is changing. And if you just look at the finals, I mean, the two teams that were in the finals, all they did was – off the dribble penetration. I mean, they were just attack, attack, attack. And that,
pass the ball.
It was the ball, and that's what wears down defenses, you know, is moving that ball around on offense. And that's the strategy. And it's no surprise that that's a high-energy kind of youthful type of way of playing in the NBA. And so you might start seeing more younger teams win the title like OKC did this year.
And the other thing I always talk about is I watched Bob Cousy, but I've seen the highlights. You've seen the black and whites. You've seen when he dribbles around through the key.
It's
Peyton Pritchard in him.
It's crazy. I'm almost like, wait a minute. Like, a guy back in that time era is not supposed to move like that.
Right, and he did. And
he's awesome.
In Converse All-Stars, no less. Not in the state-of-the-art shoes or like with – like, he didn't have cold tubs. He didn't have like cryo chambers.
No, he probably had a job to get to after the game.
No, he had a pack of cigarettes to rifle through in the locker room.
And shorts that literally
were uncomfortable.
Like, right up to the
stuff was being squeezed that didn't need to be squeezed in that situation.
All right.
But I do think Peyton Pritchard has some of that ability. You see Peyton Pritchard penetrate, kick out, drive through the key, dish. And we've talked a little bit about this, them being more athletic, being more up-tempo, maybe going back. The only thing I do wonder is, as much as we may sort of pay homage to Cousy and those guys, do the analytics people say, yeah, we love you, you're a legend, but that was the 50s. This is 2025. We know how the game is played now. We just won
Jim
a ring
Reichu.
A couple
Jim
years
Reichu.
Ago. Yeah, there's a little bit of that. Like, you were good in your era, but this isn't your era anymore. I worry that there could be some dismissive nature in some of the younger, more modern basketball people, and they don't read it the same way we do. Like, this guy's a legend. He knows what he's talking about. Maybe we should listen to him.
That's interesting. No, it is interesting. One of the things I want to just mention, and you were getting to most of the highlights, which was great, but just the his thoughts on Jaylen Brown.
We're going to get to those.
Momentarily, we're going to get to those. So this is a multi-segment.
Bob Cousy was so impressive in my mind.
Yep.
He is not one segment. He is two segments.
Fair enough.
Is a legend. He is a champion, and he's a badass old man.
Respect has been put on that name, which is nice.
Yep. He is a badass old man. So we'll continue to talk about Bob Cousy, his interview with Dan Shaughnessy. Up next are his thoughts on Jaylen Brown. And I'm going to be honest, we disagree a little bit on this one, but I respect his opinion. Jaylen Brown, how far can he take the Celtics? What does Bob Cousy think about that? That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons live at Patriot Place, just outside of Gillette Stadium.
That stuff gets me excited.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
I don't even like sneaker like that. 8.35 Jaylen Brown, final score.
9.5.
You heard it here. Joe's on Newberg.
WEEI Afternoons at the Dean College stage at Patriot Place, right next door to Citizen Crust. by Gillette Stadium, just above the new or soon to be newly unveiled Tom Brady statue. Fitzy is very excited. Ted's excited that there's a quasi-actual football game to be played inside of Gillette Stadium later tonight.
Ted, real quick random football question. Any thoughts on Larry Izzo?
Oh, I got thoughts for days on Larry Izzo.
That is the most open-ended random question I've ever heard.
We don't have enough time in this show to talk Larry Izzo. That's one of my favorite people to talk about. That's a good man.
An old friend of mine, an Izzo relative, just popped by and say hi to us over there, yeah.
Give my best to Larry and Tamara.
And now a coach on the Commanders.
Yes, special teams coach.
Larry, Larry was a very similar type of personality to Larry David. Like, he was paranoid. Little things bugged him, and he was in his own brain all the time, and he would bring out what he was thinking all the time. So
I like that.
He always thought he was
How
getting,
tall is he?
He always thought he I think he's, you he's got no you're shorter than him.
I knew you were like I got him,
but he was always thinking that somebody dissed him or you know that the insulted
short guy syndrome.
Yeah, it's like, hey,
I wouldn't know.
So he would like solicit, you know, opinions on it. Did you think he dissed me? And so he's a neurotic kind of paranoid but one of the most awesome human beings you'll ever meet. So, yeah, Larry's that's
awesome. Big fan of Larry Izzo. He was great back in the Patriots Football Weekly days. He was good to work with.
Always good quote for you.
Great quote.
I think he's single-handedly is the reason for the baby wipe bonanza.
Yeah, he was a baby wipe guy.
He was the first to introduce baby wipes, and I was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever.
Dude Wipes probably got the idea from Larry.
It should be Larry Wipes.
Yep.
Dude Wipes got it from Larry. I guarantee you they did.
Because he always used to, I do remember, he would put a newspaper or something under his arm, grab his box of wipes, and he'd like, see you guys.
Since we're already there.
Yeah. The stall.
I dumped that.
What's he doing? Yes, that's right. Yes, Logan, that's Uncle Larry.
Uncle Larry is spitting into the toilet paper.
So he legit invented him.
He was like, you know what? If he just put that idea to... You know,
if you can prove this, maybe he can get a piece of dude wipes or something.
Maybe. He should get money for this.
Yeah, I didn't know what back that is.
This is the kind of random stuff that just sort of comes out where there's an odd connection back to the playing days. But you cross paths with or were in the trenches alongside so many random guys that we just don't know much about.
And I'll tell you, you want to. It's like chocolate and peanut butter coming together. It's like, duh. It took forever to figure that out. You bring Larry Izzo and Mike Vrabel together, and it is
what a party!
It's a comedic show that is unlike anything you've ever seen, and it is guys just getting bludgeoned by verbal jousting, and usually more times than not, Vrabel ends up the triumphant winner.
Because
nobody's really. If you want to get into a back and forth with somebody, don't ever do it with Vrabel.
Because he doesn't have rules of engagement. He's going to win.
He will bury you.
Right.
Even the most smartest, the most wittiest person ever will get beat in a verbal jousting match.
Vrabel and Izzo, the new Nichols and May, the new Martin and Lewis.
Well, you know who I think would fit in quite nicely with them? Bob Cousy. If he joined Bob Cousy for the Thursday night, they had a couple beef eaters, those two guys. And back to Bob Cousy's comments in the Boston Globe today to Dan Shaughnessy. Which were critical at times of a lot of different areas of the Boston Celtics, playing style, coming up short in the playoffs, and even looking ahead. His quote on Jaylen Brown was this: in my judgment, Jaylen is not quite at the superstar level that Tatum is at. Can he carry the load by himself? I see a major rebuilding effort here. Jaylen certainly won't bring them to the promised land. White's a good player, and he'll produce, and he'll be consistent, but his game doesn't lend itself to carry a team. So, Bob Cousy.
Yep, you're
Andy.
Thinks it's a little bit of a down year for the Celtics.
You need a moment?
No. I respect the man and his opinion. We'll see.
Let's like take it word by word here. He said, he was a little crazy. He said, Jaylen certainly won't bring them.
I think that emphasis is yours, not his. I wasn't there. I'm not sure exactly.
I use the word certainly. It's like he might as well have said no doubt.
But I'd also argue, even I am not expecting Jaylen Brown to lead them to the promised land. Is anybody expecting them to go to the promised land?
No.
Go to the playoffs.
Yeah.
I said if you're a top four seed, Be one of the top four seeds, have home court advantage in the first playoff series. I think Jaylen Brown and the Celtics have had a good year after tearing down the roster and all those things. He also gets into that a little bit, the offseason and the ownership change. He said this, and this was as biting as anything for a guy. Bill Chisholm, I'm not sure, technically owns the Celtics yet. I don't believe it's been approved by the NBA Board of Directors.
When is that going to happen? I just want to stop talking about Bill Chisholm is the new owner in waiting and just get into the Bill Chisholm era.
No, you missed an adjective before new owner. The poor new owner, Bill Chisholm, must be shell-shocked. The minute he signed on the dotted line, the poop started to hit, and that's his word, he said poop. The poop started to hit the fan. Everything that could go wrong for that franchise pretty much did. I hope he's not having buyer's remorse. I think he's snake bit. Tell me how you really feel, Bob.
Bob, I mean, they won the championship a couple of years ago, but
they did.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, Jason Tatum's going to come back. He's probably going to miss a year, but it's not a full rebuild like Mr. Cousy is suggesting.
And then the all-time best quote for a man who's 97 years old.
Yep.
I'm more likely to live to 100 than the Celtics win another championship.
Holy smokes.
Ouch, babe.
That's where you go, man, I don't know if he's totally.
But could have lived without that
what he's saying.
Might have had the third beef eater on this Thursday night.
Boy, in thinking about Mazzulla, when I heard that Mazzulla had gotten the new contract extension, and then coming off of our interest in the Cousy article and the way that he sort of, I won't say criticized Jaylen Brown, but didn't give him the vote of confidence or faith you were looking for. All right. I was trying to spin it a little more positive.
And I'm fine with it.
All right,
Bob Cousy, criticize whoever you want.
Okay. So this tells me that this year, this season coming up, you guys, is a massive season of opportunity, even though both of them, you know, Jaylen Brown has another $200-something million coming his way, and Mazzulla is well entrenched now as the next coach and is probably going to be handsomely rewarded himself. This tells me the 2025-26 season for the Celtics is a massive prove-it, not necessarily lose-it, but prove-it type of year for both. Like, awesome opportunity for Jaylen to say, you know, I texted you guys, like, he's socializing more. He was out in the street doing lobster roll reviews with a popular Instagram and YouTube influencer the other night, as Only in Boston featured. So he's putting himself out there to be the personality, and hopefully it'll translate on the court.
We'll see. I know. I'm just saying, the opportunity
is there, too.
He was kind of critical about a month ago about just, you know, where his – he doesn't get enough credit, but I don't want to say anything.
He's trying to make himself more of a star. And then on top of it, now Mazzulla is dealt this very unusual hand where he's got Simons, and they trade away Niang, and now you get the rookie kid from Louisville as part of the trade. Like, this roster is in such flux now. If – he can take that to 50 wins or above, and Jaylen Brown can be the North Star of this team. Hats off and bravo to both.
Well, there's a lot of guys that are going to prove a lot of things, good or bad, about themselves. I think Cousy, his checklist right there. Jaylen Brown, I'm watching you. Can you do this? Joe Mazzulla, I'm watching you. Can you do this? Are you going to change what you need to change based on the fact that I think you lost a series because of the way you played against an inferior team? And then we had...
Keep going. I mean, you know, I'm curious how Brad Stevens navigates his way through
Brad
this.
Stevens, and he even brought ownership into it. Is he snake-bitten, or is things going sideways because there's new ownership? Which, I don't know, that could be part of it, right? There were a lot of financial decisions that were made right after they took over.
Yeah.
They dumped a boatload of salary. Was that going to always happen? Did that happen in part because of the ownership change? So they're in the crosshairs. And then Jason Tatum. We saw Jason Tatum down here for joint practices, no boot, walking around, and then suddenly everybody was like, could Jason Tatum be back at the end of the season? Is Jason Tatum going to play this year?
You know,
are you going to be good enough to give him reason to want to play? Are we going to be an Aaron Rodgers? Remember the Jets?
You know how fun that would be?
Awesome.
How fun would that be?
Telling everybody
if he comes back.
It would be incredible.
Did Aaron Rodgers.
You know what?
I know.
You would be more invested in the season if you had this feeling that Jason could come back.
And both ways.
It would be a carrot that would be very beneficial to hang out there for the guys.
It'd be awesome for the season if you think he could come back, and it's awesome for him if he's coming back to a team that is doing well without him and he can only make them better.
Yeah.
Right? He can contribute to a playoff run. He can continue to whatever they're going to be late next year. So the Celtics are incredibly interesting. We talked about it the other day when I said the Bruins are sort of the fourth fiddle in terms of interest and what's going on.
Yeah.
The Celtics lose their best player and are probably more interesting this year than they've been in a couple of years, right? Like, because of everything that's going on around. And it doesn't hurt that he might be coming back late in the year for a playoff run.
I'd bet on
all of that. You're betting on it?
I'm betting on it.
Okay, I'm betting on it.
Tacuzzi.
Oh, you got
yeah,
here.
Yeah, toast Tacuzzi.
Raise our waters, Tacuzzi. Yeah, yeah. Wishing they were beef eaters, for sure.
I got my Tom Brady water.
I hope that I'm thinking as clearly and as succinctly as he is at
Absolutely.
At that age.
Still going out, even though I know his daughter's watching him from a table away. It said he's still going out with basically the boys on a Thursday night, right? It's like a college kid. You go out on Thursday night, he's going out with the boys on Thursday night.
He references, I didn't know much about the Sitch.
Yep, yeah.
One of my favorite characters from Celtic City, one of my new favorite players.
Absolutely.
It's
coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, we get back to the Patriots. We are indeed at Gillette Stadium, Patriot Place, just outside of Citizen Crust. It is a huge night for the Patriots. The past and the future come together. There's helicopters circling above. Planes are flying over. It is the news of New England. Tom Brady will be in attendance.
Doesn't feel like a preseason game, man.
No, there's buzz. There was buzz at the practices the other day. There's buzz for Tom Brady's statue, and there's buzz because Drake May will take the field to kick things off for 2025. We'll also talk to our friend Megan Ottolini up next here on WEEI Afternoons.